I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
The Dugout. Premier League Preview. Football Social Daily.
Rivalry is refreshed at Elland Road this weekend in the Premier League as Leeds United welcome Manchester United after being smashed for five on opening day. Will Leeds exact their revenge? A Whites win will please Wolves, who are unlikely contenders for the Champions League places this season. They host Leicester, who have been lacklustre. Is Brendan Rodgers running out of road? Plus, a grumpy Antonio Conte faces one of the toughest tests yet as Tottenham boss when he faces a rampant Manchester City. And can Newcastle keep up their fine form as they fight to beat the drop when they welcome a West Ham side who have just started to stutter? All of the action previewed on today's show. This is The Dugout, the podcast featuring former top flight professionals, and delighted to say joining me today we've got former Leeds, Leicester and current Middlesbrough defender Sol Bamba. Good to have you back, Sol. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Looking forward to chatting to you, and also making his Dugout debut today, former Hull City and Leicester man, Matty Fryett. Welcome to the show, Matty. How are you doing, mate?
Like Sol said, good to be on.
No problem at all. Looking forward to chatting to you. Before we do, I was just speaking to you, Matty, before the show, and you said that Sol's held you at arm's length on a couple of occasions.
I'm sure I said the other way around.
That's exactly what I was about to say, Matty. You give me a tough time, I know that.
Now we've got the pleasantries out of the way. Let's get stuck into the Premier League games this weekend. There's a rival game this weekend. Leeds against Manchester United at Elland Road. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Now, you used to play for Leeds United, Sol, and I'm sure you would have been made aware of the rivalry between Leeds and Manchester United. When you get ready for these big derby games, what is the preparation like? Is it what we often hear players and managers say, it's the same as any other game, or do you as players know that there's a little bit different to it?
Oh, it is a lot different, actually, Neil. I'm not going to lie. I mean, we're always going to say that, you know, to don't put too much expectation on us and to the fans as well. But it's a massive game for us. We know that. When you go to derby and big games. And like you said, as soon as you walk in and Leeds, the fans and the club made you aware of the rivalry with Man United, you know. When I was there, we weren't playing the top flight football, but all they talk about is Man United. So I'm sure all the lads would be exciting to play that game, and the fans as well in particular, because they haven't played those kind of game in the Premier League for many, many years.
Obviously, they're not only rivals, but Manchester United beat Leeds 5-1 at the start of the season, Matty. That game was opening day. As players, are those the sorts of results that really stick in your throat a little bit, and ones that you want to put right when it comes to the reverse fixture?
Yeah, definitely. That was our embarrassing result for Leeds on that day. But they'll be fully aware of Manchester United. But from a Leeds perspective, they'll be thinking, well, they're capable of doing it again. But they've got, obviously, home advantage. The fans won't want it. And I think Leeds will want to put it to Manchester United this weekend.
I think it's a great point that you make about the supporters, because the two sets of fans will be at each other, I'm sure, across social media in the build-up to this game. As a defender, Sol, when you've conceded five to a team or you've had a bad day at the office, does the determination then become into overdrive to make sure that you keep it tight? Because, you know, conceding five would have been embarrassing for Leeds, particularly to Manchester United on that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to play right, you know. Defender, you know, they leave on a clean sheet, you know what I mean? So when you concede one, you're upset. Two, you're even more upset. So five against your bigger rival, of course, that's going to hurt. So, you know, I'm sure all this week leading to the games, the lads will be talking about it and working on it to make sure, you know, that doesn't happen again. But as a defender, you take it personally, because, you know, like I said before, you love a clean sheet and you don't want to concede goals. So when you concede five, that's embarrassing, really. So I'm sure they would want to put that right.
Every player's different, Sol. Every defender is slightly different. So what camp are you in? Are you the sort of player who would want to communicate and talk about that last result and think about how you might be able to improve on the next game? Or is it just one of those where you're like, forget about it, that was the start of the season, we're a better team now, etc., etc.? Which kind of camp do you fall in?
Well, I'm definitely on the first camp. You've got to talk about it, because if you don't talk about it and try to rectify it, it will happen again. So, you know, what is important is, like you said, you talk about it, you put it right, you see what you've done right or wrong, and you move on, because it's important to move on. The next game is always the most important one. So you make sure you watch it and you talk about it to make sure it doesn't happen again, like I said, and you move on pretty quickly. But in my opinion, you definitely have to review the game and see what you've done right, and especially what you've done wrong, because you don't want that to happen again.
Obviously, Leeds United quite close to the relegation zone, and they'll be wanting to pick up a result just to kind of ease the pressure there. Manchester United chasing the top four, and one of their goals midweek against Brighton, Matty, came through Cristiano Ronaldo, which means it's now 21 consecutive years in which he scored a professional goal, which is just a ridiculous record. The numbers are mad, aren't they? Sol's shaking his head. They're just a joke, some of the numbers. But in that first game of the season, he hadn't signed for Manchester United yet. He wasn't in the building. But that goal, after not scoring in six games before that, I mean, not like Ronaldo short of confidence, Matty, but as a striker, you know what it's like when you get one, that can kind of light the fire under you, can't it?
Definitely. Even the other day, I think it was a bit of relief. I think two games ago, obviously missed the penalty, missed a few chances. It seemed like he was snatching at opportunities. Obviously, we all know how special Ronaldo's been, and his goals speak for itself, the type of player he is. But I think it was a little bit of relief, the goal against Brighton. And then there was one near the end where he just laid it off for Fernandes. If he'd been in a few games before, he would have gone for goal himself. But that goal for Man United was a real boost and what they needed.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of relief probably that he's finally kind of scored for the first time in seven games. It's not often that you say that about Cristiano Ronaldo. If he needs any advice on taking penalties, then we got the man here to help him out. After Sol dispatched his spot kick at Old Trafford, coolest man in the place. Didn't fancy celebrating at the end, Sol. I don't know what that was all about. You just decided to stand there and take in the moment. What was it like to play at Old Trafford the other week? We often talk about Manchester United being a legendary club in England, and rightly so because of all the trophies they've won. Yeah. But there have been some criticisms that it's not as difficult a place to go to. Old Trafford's a bit easier to go there and get a result now than it used to be. I know this game against Leeds is at Elland Road, but I just wanted your perspective as someone who played there only a couple of weeks ago, how you feel about that.
No, I think it's arguably one of the biggest clubs in the world and the biggest club in the country. So, you know, it's always going to be up there, you know, and it's everything about it. The stadium look immaculate, the pitch, the fans, you know, and you walk in there and you can feel the history and everything goes about big clubs. But I think when people said when they go there and it's not as difficult as before, it's just because the fans are quiet. You know, you need to entertain them before they respond. And other clubs, you from minute one until the end of the game, they sing and they encourage the team. But United, I think people said they're best boy because they used to have good football and good players. So, you know, you have to entertain them if you like. But it's still a massive club and it's always difficult to play there. You know, the other day, they had many, many chances. They missed the penalties as well. If they scored those chances, it would be a different game. So, obviously, we had a game plan. We did well. We executed the game plan. And at the end, we won the game in penalty. But, you know, it could be a different game altogether. And I'm telling you, I've got nothing to teach Cristiano Ronaldo when it comes to goals, let me tell you.
Were you nervous taking that penalty?
No, I wasn't. No, I'm not going to lie, Neil. I wasn't nervous because, you know, first of all, I wanted to take one, and I said straight away to the gaffer, I'll take one. And I wanted to take the first one, actually, so I can get it out of the way. But a few of the lads wanted to take it before me. But, you know, no, I just take it as a challenge, and I wanted to take one, and I was confident in myself, like I can score, you know. And I've been in a situation like this before in African Cup of Nation final where I needed to take penalties and that. So I've been there before. So, you know, I wasn't nervous at all, but I'm happy I scored. I wouldn't be happy if I missed that, that's for sure.
Well, you did a good job and Middlesbrough did what they needed to do to get through to the next round of the FA Cup. So congratulations and best of luck for the rest of the FA Cup. And of course, a championship with Middlesbrough. Back to this game in the Premier League, though. And I know it's a rivalry, so a kind of a context needs to be applied to this game, Matty. But when it comes to the league table, United are chasing fourth. They want to be in the Champions League next season. They need to beat Leeds, don't they? They need to be beating teams like Leeds United if they want to get in the top four.
For a top four spot, they've got beaten Leeds, and Man United want to beat Leeds. Of course, they will, not just because of a rivalry, but to have any aspirations of finishing the Champions League spots, they have to beat Leeds. With Manchester United, though, this season, don't think they've really got an identity anymore. Consistency hasn't been there. And I'm looking at the game, and obviously you referred to the result earlier on in the season with a 5-1 win. I could see them winning like that at the weekend, but at the same time, I could also see them being turned over. I really don't know, and I don't think Man United know what they're going to get. You'd think the game from midweek would bring that confidence into it, but if they don't start the game off well and the intensity of what Leeds will bring to that game, especially with the atmosphere that's created at Elland Road, they could find it difficult. But to really be getting the top four, they have to beat Leeds.
You say that you don't know what you're going to get from Man United. Do you think the players know that?
I don't think the players know. That's minus. Obviously, they've got quality. You're talking about Pogba, Fernandes, Ronaldo, Sancho. Sancho seems to be coming into a bit of form. But as a team, I don't think they know. I think they're going out there more hoping. And obviously, they've got individuals that can create something from nothing. But as a team, I don't think they know what they're doing at the minute, in my opinion, which is always difficult. And I think the players are aware of that as well. It certainly looks that way in the performances.
Shaping up to be a fascinating game this weekend in the Premier League. Leeds United versus Manchester United kicks off on Sunday at 2 o'clock from Elland Road. We've got another Sunday kickoff to discuss next. Wolves take on Leicester. We'll do it after this here on The Dugout.
The Dugout. Premier League preview. Football Social Daily.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Dugout. Premier League preview. Football Social Daily.
Welcome back to the podcast. Wolves against Leicester is our next Premier League fixture we're going to tackle. 4:30 kickoff at Molineux on Sunday. And Wolves have fashioned themselves as unlikely contenders for the top four. They've got the tightest defence in the Premier League, Sol, aside from the leaders, Man City. And I guess that just shows that having a good platform to build from can bring you success.
Absolutely. And that, for me, that's the key. You know, it's an old saying in the game, like a good defence, a very good defence win your title, and a good striker win your games. You know? So you have to have a good foundation. And that's where Wolves go. And that's why they're doing so well this season. And, you know, it's only Man City we got a better defence, and they're top of the league. So, you know, for me, it start from there. If you're very solid and you keep as much as clean sheet as you can, you know, you got half a chance.
How much credit do you think the manager deserves, Sol, for what he's done, having gone in there replacing Nuno Espirito Santo at the start of the season, who did go to Tottenham at the time, but he had done such a good job at Wolves and it kind of went a little bit stale. So to take over from him wouldn't have been easy, but he's done a really good job.
Absolutely. He deserves a lot of credit because, like you said, Nuno did a good job there. You know, it was always going to be difficult to replace him. So, you know, he came in. You know, I know a couple of players at Wolves, they said he's very down to earth. He knows how to explain why he wants. He's got a way of play, and he's a lovely guy. So that's why the lads buy into his ideal. And we have to give him a lot of credit, to be fair, because, you know, he's doing a fantastic job so far.
What about at the other end of the pitch, Matty, your area of expertise? They don't score a great deal of goals, but they don't let a great deal of goals in either. They've still got players to come back from injury. Pedro Neto is one that I think could make a big difference for them when he's available again. Jimenez, we weren't sure about how he would react to that head injury, but they seem to be doing enough to win games, and I guess that's all the manager can ask for.
Yeah, I think Sol touched on it there. That foundation with not conceding many goals, you're not going to go far wrong. And they have still, like you said, mentioned Neto, and Jimenez is massive. They've had him back this year. It hasn't been as probably in the form as what he was before the injury. I know he's getting back to it, but he's a big player for Wolves. And again, scored the other day. And they can nick a goal, Wolves can. And Jimenez is key to that. But obviously, if you're keeping clean sheets, you're always in with a chance of either getting something from the game or even stealing the win as such. But they played well. Wolves have got radar, and I think they haven't had the credit that what's been deserved, but at the same time I think they want to keep under that radar, and they're still pushing. They're a good team. They got a great result the other day, and by all accounts they played really well.
We don't want to say that they can't do something, because you know in football never say never, but they're not going to get in the top four, are they, Matty? I mean, is that just a stretch too far?
I wouldn't write them off. I really wouldn't. I think it would be a stretch. I think there are other teams that I'd fancy more than Wolves, but they're going under the radar. It's people like us who now start talking about them that may add a bit more pressure onto them. But so far, they're doing really well and just going about the business without sort of anyone knowing. And they're a good team on the day. They can match anyone. But it'd be interesting to see. At the minute, they're in a good place, though.
Yeah, they certainly are. And they host the Leicester City side, who have struggled this season. Really fascinated to see how this one unfolds at Molineux. Brendan Rodgers has done a really good job, so I think, on the whole, as Leicester manager, but he's just starting to come under a bit of pressure. Do you think that that's fair? Can you understand why some supporters are a bit frustrated with the way Leicester have gone this season?
In a way, yeah, because, you know, the last couple of seasons, Leicester done very, very well. So, therefore, their fans got expectation now. We all know how good the manager Brendan Rodgers is, but I think he have a few excuses because he had a low injury. I know he's not a reason and everyone's got injury, but you know, he never complained about it, which is good compared to other managers in the league. But he did have a low injury, and at the key area as well, he can't put a back four together. You know, Vestergaard came in, he's always injured as well. And that's the difference between them and Wolves is massive, because Wolves got a good foundation and Leicester don't have it. And I think when you don't have that, a solid partnership at the back with two centre-halves, it's going to be very difficult. We keep chopping and changing between games. You got Ndidi, we play there sometimes. You know, you got Amati, we play there sometimes. And we know them too as centre-midfielder. So it's very, very difficult. So, you know, I feel sorry for him in a way, but because he's got such a good squad and he's done so well recently, you know, people expect him to do better.
Fofana, Evans, big players for Leicester. And I know every team has injuries, but it has really affected Leicester.
When we talk about Leicester, we often talk about consistency. It's something you mentioned just there, Sol. And we've also mentioned Brendan Rodgers, and he's dealt with a lot as a manager so far. How hard is it to get consistency and achieve consistency? Because it feels like whenever we're talking about matches and teams putting a run of form together, everyone just throws the word consistency out there like it's an easy thing to achieve. But it takes a lot of graft on the training ground to get that right, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it's so difficult to get. I mean, I guess it come with winning games, because winning is a habit. So if you get that habit of winning games straight away, consistency come in, and you got confidence, and that's how you can create that, I guess. Because you know, if you lose game and it's difficult and you got a lot of injury and the team keep chopping and changing, you don't know who you play next to, it's always very, very difficult. But when you win games, all this is just flow, and you feel much better. So I guess it's just about winning games, and the more you win games, the better it is.
Matty, when it comes to Brendan Rodgers and the pressure that he's allegedly under, when you look at the bar that Leicester have set for themselves, it is something that you've mentioned. It's something that Sol's mentioned as well, which is they've won the FA Cup last season. They've finished fifth the last two seasons and were unlucky not to get in the Champions League. So does there need to be a bit of objectivity here when it comes to Brendan Rodgers and his future potentially at Leicester?
I think it's just gone from what's happened the previous seasons and that success. They get a few wins. They're 7th, 8th in the league? I think it's just come from a little bit disgruntled with how this season's gone, and that cup performance was a difficult one to take for the fans, especially with the local derby and being the holders of the cup. That was a bit of a pill for them. But all in all, I think Leicester's still okay. It's just that third year thing, and from our point of views, we'd be thinking actually they're okay. You compare them to say Aston Villa, and you say Aston Villa are doing okay this year. It's just all the success they've had in recent times. It's like, well, Leicester should be top four. No, they shouldn't. But I think they want to be a little bit higher than what they are. But they're not too far away from where you'd probably put them, to be honest.
I think that's a fair comment. And also, it's not like Leicester have all of a sudden got bad players. I mean, they've still got very good players. And they will win probably more games than they'll lose over the course of a season just because of the quality of players that they do have. So I think that's worth bearing in mind. Another big game in the Premier League, Wolves against Leicester, Sunday 4:30. We're going to take another quick break now, and after that there'll be two more Premier League games. We're going to pick up on City play Spurs, West Ham play Newcastle. We'll do those next after this.
The Dugout Premier League preview, Football Social Daily. The Dugout Premier League preview, Football Social Daily.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Dugout from Sports Social. My name's Niall. I've got Sol Bamber and Matty Fryer alongside me, two players who know exactly what it's like to play in the Premier League. And leading the way in the top flight at the moment are the imperious Manchester City. They welcome Tottenham to Etihad Stadium on Saturday evening. They haven't found it easy against Spurs in recent years, Matty, but a win here for Manchester City will keep them firmly in control of the title race. Do you think that it's their title to lose now at this stage?
100%. I think they've been incredible up until this point. They're not letting anyone have a sniff. Even Liverpool on the coattails, but at the same time, they're just relentless, aren't they? Some of the performances and the football that they're playing, they're magnificent, aren't they? I think going to this weekend's fixture on the back of a Champions League performance where they've absolutely taken apart Sporting Lisbon. And they're doing that with most teams in the Premier League. So it is to lose in my eyes. You never know with a couple of bad results. But at the same time, the pressure with them, Liverpool always going into the next game trying to emulate what Man City have done. And they just haven't allowed them to even get close, to be honest. They've just been so impressive, haven't they, during the course of the campaign? I can't see any reason why Man City aren't going to go on and win the Premier League again this year.
Yeah, certainly with that Champions League display as well, completely battering Sporting Lisbon, 5-0. Some result to take back into a home leg of a last 16 tie in the Champions League. As for Tottenham, no European football for them, and Antonio Conte looks like a bit of an unhappy man at the moment. They've given up some ground in the fight for the top four, Sol. Do you think if they lose to Manchester City this weekend, which is easily done given how good they're playing, do you think that that makes that challenge to get in the top four harder than ever?
It would be harder if they lose that game, which it probably was going to happen because the way Man City play at the minute. But it's not going to be over because there's still a lot of games to be played, and they're all going to play each other. So, you know, it's still a chance for Tottenham to be in the top four. But I think no one won that top four spot at the minute, because one minute is West Ham, the minute after is Arsenal. You know, Wolves are up there as well. So it'd be interesting to see. But Tottenham need to do more. They need to give more money to Conte, or freedom for him to bring his own players. Because I have to say, I know it's a difficult transfer window, the January one, but I expected them to do more business. And we can clearly see Conte is frustrated because he came out, I think, today or yesterday, saying he wasn't happy with the business they've done. So, you know, if you bring a manager like Conte, you have to let him spend money and then bring the player he wants, because he wants success now, you know. And I think he mentioned, like, Tottenham got good young players coming through, and they're looking about the future. But he wants success now, you know, and every club he's been, he won titles because, you know, he won player with the ready right now for to do the job for him. So if Tottenham are not ready to do that, they may as well let him go.
I'm glad you've mentioned those Antonio Conte interviews, Sol, because you've played a lot of matches in your career. You've played for a lot of managers. Do the boys read the interviews? Do they hear the noise from the press? And we often hear messages from dressing rooms saying that they don't, but they obviously do, don't they?
100%. The thing is, especially today with social media and everything, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. And to be fair, manager, when you do press conference or when they talk to media after game and all that, is a message for the players because they know the players will listen to it or read it and see it. So, you know, for me, it's a clear message for them. So when they say they don't read it, yeah, we don't go to the shop to buy the paper. But, you know, with social media, you're seeing it on your phone or your family will see it, your friend, you know, and everyone's going to talk about it. So when we said that, it's an old cliche. It's not the truth, that's for sure.
Well, your old mate Yaya's coaching at Tottenham at the moment, so I'm sure you can get the inside scoop from him, whatever's going on down there at Tottenham Hotspur, against one of his old clubs as well, Man City, where he's so loved there, of course. What about you, Matty? Obviously, when you, much like Sol, when you started your career, there was no social media, but now it's such a huge part of the game. Would you be of the thinking that the boys that you've played with in dressing rooms over the years would be of the persuasion that they do understand what's going on in the press and what the manager's been saying?
Definitely. You're going to hear that message loud and clear. And he's a winner, isn't he? In January, I cannot understand why Tottenham didn't do any business. We know it's a difficult window. It was clear that Tottenham needed some players and his own players, and they didn't produce that. And at the same time, he must be thinking, well, I've come here to win. I want to push on. They've got obviously some talented individuals in the team. At the minute, we're sort of on the cusp of or outside of the top four. I haven't come here just for top four. Mm. And that message is loud and clear to the board, the supporters. I'm here to actually go and do something.
I think it's a really good point, and it's one that we talk about a lot. And the amount of times on this podcast we've spoken about, will they, won't they get in the top four? And it's strange now that the Premier League's become such a beast, Sol, that finishing fourth is considered this big achievement now, which it is an achievement, but it's not the same as lifting a trophy at the end of a season, is it?
No, absolutely not. And I think it's important you said that, because I think clubs just are very happy to finish fourth because they know they're going to play Champions League and therefore a lot of money is going to come into it. But like you said, the main thing and winner like Conte or Pep, those type of manager, top four is not good enough. You know, top four is not a trophy. You want to win trophies. So I understand club like West Ham, Leicester, with all due respect, I've got for those clubs, finishing top four is massive for them and for the finance as well. And they can attract bigger players. But those top six or four clubs, like we like to call them, top four should never be the target. They should the target should be the title, and therefore, if you fail, you try to be as close as you can. But top four should never be enough for any big club in this country.
Yeah, when you hang up your boots at the end of your career, you're not going to look over in a trophy cabinet and see something that says top four, are you?
Exactly.
There's nothing there for that. It's the way things go. Talking of top four, West Ham United playing Newcastle United. This is a Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. Let's talk about Newcastle United then, and they'll be missing Kieran Trippier, who's picked up a broken metatarsal. It's his fifth one, so the one that connects his foot to his little toe, effectively. He'll be a miss, considering the part he's played in the last two games. But after winning three games in a row, Sol, and now they're out of the relegation zone, the confidence is going to be sky high, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely massive. You know, I mean, don't get me going. Trippier's going to be a massive loss for them. You know, he came in and done very well, a couple goals. But not only that, you know, I think his whole influence, you know, in the team. I think he had the captain armband the last two games. So he'd be a massive miss. But nevertheless, Newcastle are in good form now. They're winning games. Like you said, they're out of the relegation zone. And that helped massively for your confidence. So, you know, I think they can go on a run now, and obviously they brought a couple of players as well, other than Trippier to help the team. So I like to think Newcastle will be okay now.
Yeah, certainly. They've done really well the last few games. Won't be easy, though, going to West Ham and trying to get a result. Now, before we finish the podcast, Sol, the last time we spoke to you, we were right in the thick of the Africa Cup of Nations. We've seen the tournament finish now with Senegal winning their first ever AFCON title at the expense of Egypt in a final that went to penalty shootout. What was your overall takeaway from the tournament? What did you make of AFCON?
I think it was a fantastic spectacle for the world to see. And I think that was important for the continent in Africa. You know, we want to show a good image, and we want Europe and the rest of the world to respect the competition like they respect the Euro and the World Cup. So, in that point of view, it was good in my opinion. Senegal deserve it, to be fair, and it's good for them. You know, their first ever African Cup of Nations. But I was disappointed Ivory Coast didn't go further. I'm not gonna lie. You know. But overall, I think it was a good tournament, and we want to represent Africa the best we can. So I have to say that everyone there played a part, and it was a good tournament overall.
It feels like a lot more people have watched AFCON this year than ever before. Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it was important for us to show a good image. And I think that's what we did. And and I think it's important, like, you know, people like yourself and every other media to talk about it and to show it, and that's what we want, and in a way it's good, but in another way it could push out to the players. You know, I think that's what some of the players and some of the teams didn't perform the way, my opinion, they should have performed. But you know, that's what happened when you're a big club or when you play for big tournament, and when the spotlight is on you, that's how you have to perform. But that's another story.
Sol, great stuff. Brilliant to talk to you as ever, mate. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Good luck Middlesbrough against Bristol City this weekend. And for all the games throughout the rest of the season, I'm sure we'll talk to you again before the end of the campaign. Thanks as well to Matty Fryett for making his debut on today's episode. He'll be off doing some scouting this weekend, I'm sure. So keep an eye out for Matty in the stands of your local club. He might be lurking around trying to nick some of your players. But that's it from us here on The Dugout. Don't forget to hit subscribe. We are the only podcast with a new episode talking about Premier League football every single day of the season. So if you hit subscribe, that way you won't miss one. But that's it from us today. From me, Sol, and Matty, see you later.
The Dugout Premier League preview, Football Social Daily.